Shabbat Shalom. So today's Torah portion, Ki Tavo, when you come in. And I would like to you to open with me book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, from the verse 11. And please follow me in the scriptures today. Be with me. Stay with me. I would like to read from the verse 11. Moses commanded the people on that day, saying, "When you have crossed over the Jordan, these are to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin." Verse 13. "For the curse, these are to stand on Mount Ebal: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." So this is kind of interesting place of scripture here in the verse, in the chapter 27. So this is the picture. Six tribes were standing on Gerizim to proclaim a blessing over Israel as a result of obedience to the Lord. And six tribes stood on Ebal to proclaim a curse as a result of disobedience to the Lord. This was the picture right before they entered the promised land. So the one of the mountains represents a blessing. Another mountain represents a curse. I would like to read about two mountains to paint a picture. What's the difference? The mountains Ebal and Gerizim each form part of a range of the mountains of Ephraim. But the physical contrast between them is staggering. These two mountains give the most amazing contrast, the most instructive lesson, the clearest picture to help us understand the difference between blessing and curse. Both mountains spring from the same soil. Both get the same precipitation, rain and dew. Nevertheless, Ebal remains absolutely dry, while Gerizim is green and covered with vegetation. Two mountains in the same place, but completely different. Looking at them, it is easy to see the difference between a blessing and a curse, because they are a picture of life and death. And looking at them, we can understand that the blessing and curses are not dependent on external circumstances. Because for these two mountains, external conditions were identical, completely identical. So these two mountains should suggest that a blessing from the Lord brings a peaceful fruit of righteousness, success, peace. But a curse brings only emptiness and death, nothing more. So let's look closely at these two mountains and compare them to see what we can learn from their examples. As it happens, what's the difference between them? Why they're so different? Why is green, another is dry and empty? What's the difference? So as it happens, Mount Gerizim has an underground spring. This is the main difference and the only difference. The presence of water makes Mount Gerizim green and alive. The absence of water makes Mount Ebal dry and dead. And it is also true in our lives today. This is the lesson for us today. No matter what happens around us, no matter what storms may blow us around, what's going on in our lives, it is what is within us that makes the difference. that helps us to live and flourish, even though outside influences are not life-giving. What is inside of us, this is the most important thing. There was another important event that took place between these same two mountains at the same place, long after the 12 tribes had entered the land of Israel. Here's the account of that event. Let's open John chapter 4. And actually, John, it's this his foreigner name in his American passport, John. In his real passport, he Yohanan. Yohanan. So, Yohanan chapter 4, from the verse 5. Please read with me. And remember, the same place between these same two mountains. So he, Yeshua, comes to a Samaritan town called Shechem, near the plot of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. So Yeshua, exhausted from his journey, was sitting by the well. It was midday. A Samaritan woman comes to draw water. "Give me a drink," Yeshua tells her. The famous story about Yeshua meeting a Samaritan woman. It happens in the same place, between the same two mountains, Gerizim and Eival. The interesting fact is that it happens in Shechem, near Jacob's well. So, about well, I want to read very few sentences about this well, Jacob's well. This well located on the slope of Gerizim, Mount of Blessing. The mountain with the underground spring from which water always flowed until today. From the Mount of Gerizim. Both Yeshua and the Samaritan woman knew they were in special place with a special history. It was an important place and they knew about it. It was that special history of the underground spring from the Mount of Blessing that gave special meaning to Yeshua's words when he said about living waters. We will read about it. So before we read the story, let's look at the whole history of this place before we'll go for farther. So first, it was in this very place that the Lord promised the land to Abram. In this place, the Lord brought him to this place between two mountains, and he promised the land of Israel to Abram and to his descendants. The same place. Later, the Lord brought Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who was Israel, who became Israel already. Do you remember this story? He was Jacob until a special moment of his life. And it was not a pleasant moment, I can tell you. It was very fearful and difficult, but his life changed forever. So the Lord brought him to this very same place, and Israel dug a well on the slope of the mountain. And I believe everything was the preparation for future. Generations later, when the Lord led the people of Israel out of the Egypt, and he was already to lead them into the promised land right before crossing Jordan, right before. It was on the same place that he showed them a difference between blessing and curse. Difference between life and death. It was on the same place. Two mountains, the same place. And the fourth, that's my opinion, I think I want to share with you. Because all of that was a prophetic picture of the important truth revealed by Yeshua in his conversation with the Samaritan woman. It was a very special conversation, full of revelation from the Lord to us. For me, that place was like a gate to the promised land. Like a gate between two mountains. Promised to Abraham. This land, Jacob bought this land for him and built the city there. He dug the well there. And the Lord brought tribes of Israel to proclaim blessing and curse in that place. He showed them the way, and it was a very important place. So it was like a gate to the promised land. And this is why, in my opinion, it's my opinion, even though Yeshua was called to the lost sheep of Israel, his calling was to go to the lost sheep of Israel. It was his goal. He left Israel, and he went to that place, to Samaritan town. And do you know the history between Samaritan people and Israelites? They were enemies. They had no communication with each other. So Yeshua left Israel and he went to this place to have this time with the Samaritan woman. Why? I think because this was a very important place in the history of Israel. So, in this in mind, let's read from the verse 10, Yohanan chapter 4. Yeshua replied to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman tells him, "you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Then from where do you get this living water?" Verse 13. Yeshua replied to her, "Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again." And remember, this is the special well with the water from the mountain of blessing. "But everyone who will drink from there will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. The water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him, springing up to eternal life," to eternity. Yeshua tells her, and verse 21, let's skip through verses because I don't have time to read everything. It's already so rich, so deep, so many revelations here. But I want to start from verse 21. Yeshua tells her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming. In fact, it is here now." Can you imagine this moment of their conversation? It is here now. He is a temple. He is a sacrifice. He is everything. He is the Lord. And he is there with her. And this time, it's here. "When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people as his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman tells him, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Yeshua tells her, "I the one speaking with you. I am. In the same place, between those two mountains, near Jacob's well, with the water from mountain of blessing. How many important truths the Lord revealed in this story, in this conversation. I don't have time to explain everything. It is hours of discussion, but we have only five, not more. We have short time. So what I would like to touch some basic ideas from his discussion with her. First of all, and the most important, Yeshua tells her, I, the one speaking to you, I am. He proclaimed himself as a Messiah, and it was so clear for the first time in the Samaritan town near the Jacob's well. He told her, I'm the one, I'm the Messiah, I'm the promised one, I'm an anointed one, I'm here, and I'm given a living water, if you would ask me. This was the one moment of truth for her. Yeshua directly reveals himself as the Messiah, the same one who is expected as a deliverer that the prophet spoke of. And you know what's happened with her, with Samaritan woman? The next. The Samaritan woman accepted the Messiah by faith, found the path of salvation, and led many people to the Lord, even before his death and resurrection, even before his own Talmidim get it a year. She was the first. I can prove it. From the verse 40, let's read together. Open with me. So when the Samaritans came to him, they kept asking him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They kept telling women, it's no longer because of your words that we believe. Hey, it's good. Now we met Messiah. Now we know him personally. Before it was your testimony, thank you so much. Now it's my faith, personal faith. Actually, it's a good thing to have personal faith. We've heard for ourselves. I like this. We've heard for ourselves. We need to hear for ourselves. Now we know that this really is the Savior of the world. Is it clear enough? I think so. It is clear enough. This statement is clear enough. That place between the mountains that I see as a gate to Israel, Yeshua made it to a gate of salvation. It became to be a gate of salvation. And I believe it's prophetically from the Lord. So the second truth, and so strong, so powerful. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, can you imagine these two words? He's the Messiah. He's the one who created the world. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt. If you remember when Moses tells the Lord, if you will not go with us, don't let us out of here. We want to die here. We don't want your angel. We want you to be with us. And you know, Messiah was with them. He was the one who brought Jacob, and he revealed himself to Jacob and changed his name to Israel. You know all this story. It was the Messiah with Jacob. Amazing. These words were spoken at this place where the 12 tribes of Israel proclaimed blessing and the curses. And you know, biblical truth. We all know that none of the people living on earth is able to be absolutely obedient to God. I mean, I have a question. Do we have somebody here who is absolutely obedient to God? I'm happy nobody raised his hand. It would be a sign to me. Something wrong going on. It means that everyone deserves curse. It means that everyone under the curse. Because if you remember chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, it was 14 verses of blessings, and the rest of it, it was curse for disobedience. And we all deserve punishment from the Lord because of our sins, because of our disobedience. This is the truth of Scripture. But the Romans chapter 6, 23, I want to read it very briefly. For sin's payment is death. It's impossible to avoid it. Sin's payment is death. But the God's righteous gift is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Sin's payment is death. But the gift of God. Do you remember what Yeshua tells her? If you knew the gift of God, the gift of God, eternal life in the Messiah, Yeshua. Eternal life is greatest gift, and it destroys all curses, sin, and death. When Yeshua died for us, he destroyed curse in our lives. In him, through his blood, through his resurrection, we have eternity, we have blessing, we have fullness of life through Messiah, Yeshua, in the Holy Spirit. He poured out his blessing, taking upon himself the curse of each of us, because he is the Messiah. It was his role. He is the perfect sacrifice for us. And it is possible today to live in the blessing of God, though through faith in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Third truth. Do you see it's so deep here, so interesting here? Yeshua tells her, the water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him, springing up to eternal life. He is speaking about the Holy Spirit, about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jacob dug a well in the mountain of blessing and drank that water. But this well was just a shadow. You know, the Lord knew from the beginning about this conversation with this woman. When Jacob dug this well. It's beautiful, prophetic. But this well was just a shadow, a prophetic picture of the words of Yeshua. This was only a picture of prophetic words of Yeshua. And I like John Yohanan chapter 7 from the verse 37. And please read with me John 7 from the verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast of Sukkot, tabernacle, Yeshua stood up and cried out loudly, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Ruach, whom those who trusted in him were going to receive. For the Ruach was not yet given, since Yeshua was not yet glorified. Living waters, water of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. Today we are not only forgiven and redeemed. Can you imagine? Forgiveness from the Lord, it would be already enough for us. But we are not only forgiven and redeemed. It's not the end. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, by His grace and mercy. When the Holy Spirit descended on the first disciples in Jerusalem on the great holiday of Shavuot, the greatest miracle happened. The Lord Himself settled in the hearts of people, and today He fills everyone who accepts His gift. Everyone who asks the Messiah for the water of life. This is the great gift. And everything He explained to a Samaritan woman close to this well, near this well. And the fourth truth, and it's different direction, but it's important for us to remember. I think it's my opinion. I just want to share my opinion. I think the Samaritan woman did not suspect that the Messiah, Savior of the world, was waiting for her at the well. What do you think? She came for water. It was for her goal to bring water home. But the Messiah, He was there expecting for her. And you know what? It was not kosher for a Jew to talk to a Samaritan woman. It was not kosher. It was not allowed. And you know, she was also a sinner. What do you think? Whose personal life was not going well. Yeshua knew that she had been married to 5 different husbands and was now living with a man to whom she was not married. She had disaster in her life. She had rough life, difficult life, not pleasant to the Lord. I don't think she was the best representative from all Samaritan people there. She was a sinner. We are sinners. But this did not stop the Lord from meeting her and talking with her about the most important thing in her life. He's full of mercy, of compassion, of love to every one of us. Every one of us. It doesn't matter from where you came. He loves you so much. He's filled with mercy to you. The Lord told her, yes, Jerusalem is a holy place. Salvation comes from there. But the time comes, I tell you, a woman, when people will worship not on this mountain and not in Jerusalem, but everywhere in spirit and truth, because God is spirit. What a great secret He revealed to her. He told her, I'm with you everywhere. Wherever you're going, I'm with you if you're worshiping me. And as we go about our daily activities, like the woman, we may not suspect that the Messiah is anywhere near us. We are so busy, we are going because we have so many things to do. But the fact is, He is always near. He might show Himself to us at any time. We could meet Him at the most unexpected time and place in our life. Because He is the Messiah, He is the Lord. He knows how to touch our heart. And He is always ready to save and have mercy on us, no matter what we did in the past. Because He is merciful and compassionate God. I would like to close with a prayer, and I would like to pray for every one of us that our hearts will be filled with the Spirit of God and with compassion from the Lord. His mercy, His love through Messiah Yeshua. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for opportunity to be in this place, Lord. Thank You for beautiful time, Lord, to look at Your scriptures, Lord, to receive revelation from You about Your love, Your mercy. Thank You for Your wisdom, Lord. Thank You for everything, Lord. And thank You, Father, for Yeshua, the Messiah. Thank you for his great gift to us, Lord. Thank you for his death and his resurrection, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. So let's stand and close with our benediction and let's bless the Lord.
Now that everyone's gathered together, if you'll please close your eyes and just let the words of this prayer wash over you and enter into your heart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmerech. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai Adonai panav alecha v'yisem lecha shalom. God bless you.
Shabbat shalom. And parents, please speak your children in the Shabbat school. Thank you. Shabbat shalom.